style group that'll be playing in the evening, as well as on Saturday when you're there in the evening. I think it's a Fleetwood Mac type of tribute band as well. So lots of music that'll be at the Black River Landing. Of course, throughout the weekends, they've got the Rockin' on the River, so there's a lot of things always happening there. But the guy who heads up the city of Lorain is with us this morning, the mayor of Lorain, Chase Rittenour. Good morning, Chase.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's this week going for you? The International Week, you know, you talk about it being the international city. That's one of the monikers when you go out and tell people about Lorain. Now it sort of gets to show itself in that city.
This week is our opportunity to show ourselves. I often say this is the first official week of summer. Now, some might argue with me with the 90-degree weather the past week, but this is really the kickoff to summer and a celebration of who and what Lorain is.
Talk a little bit about the Black River Landing and the lakefront area there as it relates to the image that you're trying to project.
You know, it'd be great if I possessed a magic wand to make it, to fix it all overnight, but a lot of longer-term projects are coming to fruition finally. Obviously, the Port Authority has a new director now, Tom Brown. Tom and I get along very well and share a lot of the same vision, but Black River Landing has really seen a resurgence in the last probably 3+ years, likes of Roverfest, Rockin' on the River, bringing thousands and thousands of people downtown is a key start. We just finished our tunnel project on the Finger Piers, so now that that's buttoned up, I think it's going to give us an opportunity to better market that property now that the project is done. And some of the things on Broadway that we're seeing are, you know, our downtown is not a traditional downtown. Many small downtowns are perpendicular streets. You have a crossing streets. We have just one street that runs really right alongside the river into the lake, our main drag. But we're starting to see some movement on individual buildings downtown. The old bank building next to the Spitzer Hotel, that continues to be rehabbed and renovated. Trying to find Firefish, a home downtown. The Palace is doing some good things. United Way's downtown. So you're starting to see piece by piece some of that puzzle fill in. So I think it's a really exciting time for the downtown area.
What might be in the future for that hotel?
Hotel, so we are working to make sure that the historical tax credits remain intact. We've asked for an extension of those, but you know, I think there's any number of things that could be the case in the future. What we're looking at now is trying to see how that hotel fits into the bank building. The bank building is getting an infusion of private dollars. Can that work with the old hotel building? You know, there's one developer who's been out there. Whether he's the one who completes the project, brings others on, that's still all to be determined. But I feel good about where, you know, the conversation is going. What I have heard recently, those tax credits are imperative, though, and for the state to extend those or allow us to get those in the next round is very important because that project doesn't go without them.
You mentioned the tunnel project being wrapped up, and now City Council tomorrow night will take a look at some sewer work for the future, mandated by the U.S. EPA. Can you tell us how that came to be? Did they take a survey of the city? Did they work with the city? How did that come about 3 years ago?
So 3 years ago, it was just a new agreement based off of the agreement in 2009. The 2009 agreement, step one was the tunnel project. It said you need to do something to control the water, the untreated or partially treated sanitary sewage that is making its way through your sewer system and into your wastewater plant. So step one was the tunnel. There was always step two. And the step two was once you've handled the tunnel aspect, you now need to go into your collection system, reline sewers, replace aging sewers, and tackle what's known as inflow and infiltration. We have a lot of infiltration because we have cracked sewer pipes. Stormwater makes its way into our sewer pipes. We're an aging city with old infrastructure, not unlike a number of other cities in the region. The direct inflow is also a problem. Because of the age of our housing stock, a lot of properties have their downspouts and their storm sewer tied into the sanitary. So there's direct infiltrate or inflow going into our sanitary pipes. Bottom line is we've got a lot of work we have to do in our sanitary system. I don't like it. You know, myself, the safety service director, and a few others went to the US EPA in Chicago, made the claim, look, we cannot continue these rate increases the way that you want us to. Can you give us any relief? And they agreed to. So what council is seeing is a pared down version. The bottom line is we also can't violate the Clean Water Act. And the EPA has a heavy hammer. And if we don't pass this rate increase and cannot do the work, we will be referred to the Department of Justice. And they can commence fines and penalties to the tune of up to $52,400 per day per violation. So it really is a pay me now or pay me later. And this notion that, well, the residents can't afford the rate increase, I agree. I don't want to pass this rate increase either. What I don't want to do, though, more than that, is kick the can down the road. The residents, not only the rate increase would be then mandated by the EPA, but then we would have to pay fines, penalties, interest. So again, we either do it our way and control our own destiny, or we allow the Department of Justice to intervene and quite possibly impose even greater fines and penalties so our residents are paying more, which I don't want to see.
On the plus side, on the west side of the city over by Mercy, you've got sort of like a new housing boom over there. Talk about that.
We really have. You know, Lorain is seeing on the west side a lot of housing growth, and that's a good thing for a city that over decades has lost population. To stave that off, to neutralize our numbers, we're still in the top. We're still the 10th largest city in Ohio, but that housing boom is part of that. And that's a very good thing for us. I mean, getting residents in the city, not only does it help the tax base, but it also, you know, households, rooftops, also helps locate new business here. Meijer coming into town is a direct correlation, I believe, with the housing growth on the west side of the city. Lighthouse Village continues to grow. We continue to see interest in commercial property out there. And we'll have some additional housing development out there, but it's growing to capacity. I mean, there's not much developable land as it sits currently for more housing. So we are growing to capacity out there. It's a positive for the city.
And if you look at the city overall, it's in a good position, I think, for opportunity, for investment.
I agree. I mean, you know, as mayor, you mentioned Fleetwood Mac's going to be playing at the International Festival.
Rumors is the group.
Yeah, if we get Stevie here, that'd be great. You know, bottom line is don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Everything we do today, we have to be thinking about the future of the city, and I think it's positioning itself for a lot of future investment. We're on the waterfront. We're cleaning up a lot of the legacy issues in the city. Sewers aren't sexy. I get it, but they matter to developers. It matters whether we have EPA fines and penalties hanging over our heads. It matters what our roads look like. It matters that we're getting into neighborhoods to knock down dilapidated houses. Those things, some may not consider it the fun and exciting things of being in office, but to me, they are necessary things to spur the development that we all want to see. And I think we're starting to see some of the fruits of that labor.
You mentioned things that are important. Schools are important, too. There's a little bit of a cloud over the schools related to how the control on that. I know that the mayor's office really doesn't have direct input on it, but what are your thoughts about
the Well, certainly if this commission doesn't go the right way, I could have input with the way 70 is written in a couple years. I don't want to control the schools. I've got enough on my plate. But what I will say is, you know, I've come out, I think Jeff Graham has done a tremendous job stepping into a tough situation. I think his first day on the job, House Bill 70 passed. So right off the rip, he was given a clock, and the clock that I felt was unfair and unattainable. I think the commission that's in place is a solid commission. I've got a lot of faith in Tony Richardson as the chair. John Monteleone, my appointee, Patty O'Brien, and the rest of the crew, I think, are a really good commission. They get Lorain, they understand Lorain, and they're going to make the right call. So with that, you know, I'm confident that the schools, based upon some of the things Jeff has put into place already, based upon the expertise of the commission, I think we're going to continue to see incremental improvement. My issue with the state is just the changing standards. Anytime there's a standard, the schools are ready to hit it, they figure out the strategy to do it, and then it changes again. And the irony is what got us into distress, if that was the current standard today, the schools would be out of distress. So It's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges to lemons to bananas, depending on what year you're looking at the budget and the standards. I know, I feel the improvement. You look, enrollment has stopped the decline, and it's actually increasing. the investment in wraparound services. I saw today an article, the reading scores have improved, not to where they need to be, but there's improvement. We just have to continue to work toward that incremental improvement, and I think our schools will come along. I think they do a lot of tremendous things. They've got a lot of opportunities for students, so I'm confident in the leadership.
Sounds good. Of course, tomorrow people can go and see the beautiful Lorraine High School, the Performing Arts Center. That's where the International Princesses will be. We'll see a lot of the young ladies there who are some products of the Lorraine school system. They're showing what they've accomplished as they celebrate their heritage, as they are this morning. I've been watching while I've been speaking to the mayor. I've been seeing all sorts of lovely dresses coming through with the princesses as well. But, Mayor, we appreciate your time stopping in this morning. We'll probably see you this weekend out at the Black River Landing for the festival in the bazaar.
You certainly will.
Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Mayor Chase Rittenour, Mayor of Lorraine, here this morning as we spotlight Lorraine.